Satan. Matthew chapter number 22. Why are you turning there? I want to say it's good to see Brother Daniel Kenya down there. Amen. He's in from college and for the weekend, and I appreciate seeing him. It's a joy to have him in the service, and I appreciate him so very much being here today. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 41. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 41. Ask you to stand, please, while I read the Word of God. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. They'd ask Jesus a lot of questions, but when Jesus got through here, they didn't ask him anything else. They didn't have an answer. They couldn't do it. And so they simply asked no more. But I see a phrase in verse number 42. Thought about a lot of things today. I know it's Labor Day weekend. We're laborers together with God. That'd been a good thought, I guess. But somehow I couldn't get away from this thought here. What think ye of Christ? And I know that's been preached many times, probably by many people, but I just got that on my mind and heart. What think ye of Christ? That's a good question. Fact is, it's the most important question that you'll ever be asked, is what think ye of Christ? It's how you think about him. It's going to either change your life or your life's going to go on rejection and not think of him right. But what think ye of Christ? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. I do thank you, Lord, for thy word, thy truth. Thank you for the song that's been sung and the choir singing. And thank you, Lord, for all that's blessed our hearts, helped us fellowship and together and with you. I thank you, Lord, for the preparation now for the preaching. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us as we preach. We need that divine touch of God. Lord, in this house, you know the minds of every person here and the hearts. You know who's here that has the right thoughts about Jesus and those who have wrong thoughts. And you know who needs to be challenged and stirred today. And so we come to the house of God. We come time for preaching. And I stand here, God, and ask in Jesus' name for that divine touch of God be upon us. I pray, God, then you take the word of God and speak to hearts of those here. Challenge every saved person. Then I pray, God, that you would help every unsaved see their need and see who Jesus really is. I pray for that today. I ask you to rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. Give us liberty to preach. I pray for those men of the church that's away preaching today. You bless them and help us all today to do your will, magnify you, save precious souls. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look at this in context of what's happening here, and, of course, they was always asking Jesus something that they might try to trick him up. And so he asked them a question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said of David's son. Now, they were looking for the Messiah to come that would rule from Jerusalem. That's what they had their minds on. They had overlooked the fact of Isaiah 53. They had missed much of the Old Testament testifying of the crucifixion, prophesying of what would happen in that day. They had missed that. They saw what they were seeing was a Messiah coming to set up a kingdom and that Jerusalem bring back her glory as she was under the King David. And they desired to see that. And as they desired to see that, the word Christ itself means anointed. And so he said, "What think ye of Christ? Who is? Whose son is?" And that anointed one, they said, David. And they were looking for that one set up on the throne. But Jesus Christ was trying to get them to go beyond the simply a physical and a earthly kingdom and think about a heavenly kingdom and think who he really was, who is the Christ? And so when they said the Son of David, then he asked, how then did he call him Lord? And they got all tied up about that. They couldn't answer that. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Amen. And that he is the Son of David also. He is through Virgin Mary, a human being. He is by God, God the Father, and power. He's God, as much God as God's God. He's as much man as man is man. And so they didn't know how to handle that. They wasn't going to admit that he was the Son of the living God. They simply said the Son of David. And so they didn't know. But I want to bring it down to us in a practical sense today and talk about this and what think you of Christ. I want to ask you that question. What think you of Christ? Now you say, well, preacher, I'm saved. You may be, but I want to know what you think about Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ? I got to thinking about that, and as I read that verse of Scripture, it began to get more and more in my heart. What think I of Christ? What do I think of him? And I began to think about some people in the Bible and what they said about Jesus and what they thought about him. And I pray today that we can share a few of those things that may help you think what you think about Christ. I don't know what made sense or not, but anyway, I said it, didn't I? What you think that you think about Christ. Sometimes we think, but we don't think about what we think. And sometimes we simply don't think. And I guess I'm speaking for myself on that, but anyway, I want to know what you think of Christ. And Jesus asked them that. I believe it's an important question. If he asked it, it must be important. He wouldn't ask it. And so what think ye of Christ? We come to church on Sunday morning. What think ye of Christ? And so he's asked that crowd there, and he knew where their problem was. So he asked them, whose son is he? So he knows what your problem is in thinking about Christ. And so let me today just use some Bible characters and what they thought of Christ. And then let's look at ourselves and see what we think of Christ. And see what happens in this today. As we look at it and think about it, I think about John the Baptist as he come out. And if you ask him, what do you think of Christ? I believe he'd say, I think that I'm not worthy to even loose his shoe latches. That's what he said. When Jesus came to him talking about him, he said, I'm not even worthy. Am I not on? Am I not on? Should be. Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Want to be on. Want to be heard. I got something to say. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so, what thank you, Christ. And so, John the Baptist said, as Jesus came to him, said, I'm not even worthy to loose his shoe latchet. Way some talk about Christ today, they don't think much of him. They wouldn't even, they think we're going to be equal with God. They think everybody, you know, they want everybody to think good about themselves. Modern philosophy is you need to think good about yourself. And the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And so that knocks that theology in the head. And so I'd say to that crowd, the Bible says you're not good, we're not good, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. I'll tell you something else John the Baptist said about Jesus. He said he must increase and I must decrease. That's what he thought about him. He said, it's not important about what they think about me. It's about him. Amen. Amen. So he's thinking about Christ in the right way. We sometimes get caught up in what people think about us. I'm concerned today about what we think about him. Amen. What you think about me, not really all that important. What you think about him is really important. And so John the Baptist said, I think we ought to think about him. He's going to increase, I'm going to decrease. In your life, as you think about Christ, do you think that he's increasing in your life and you're decreasing, or are you trying to promote yourself and get yourself promoted so that you can be somebody, quote, somebody? I think today, you know who God really uses is those people think they're a nobody. Amen. He said he chose the weak things, foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I'll tell you something else John the Baptist thought about Jesus. One day he saw him coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's what he thought about him. He didn't think he's just somebody. He said, that's the Lamb of God. He knew he was of God. And there have been millions of lambs slain in the Old Testament. and lamb after lamb have been slain. But here comes Jesus, and he said, here comes the Lamb of God, and said, he takes away. And thank God the other lamb, their blood just covered over for a year. They'd have to come back and do it again. But he said, Jesus takes away the sin. I'm glad today I've had one sacrifice for sins forever. Never be offered again. He was offered once and forever, and that's it. And so that's completed. And then said, takes away the sin of the world. And I like that, because Abel's lamb was just good for himself. And then you find in the wilderness they had a lamb for a family. A night of Passover, Passover, they had one for a family. Over in the wilderness, they had a lamb for a nation. But oh, when Jesus came, he said, there's a lamb that's good for everybody. That lamb will work for Jew, Gentile. That lamb works for everybody. And I thank God and praise God I found out who that lamb is. What, thank you, Christ. I think he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. You can have every program you want to have. But what we really need is a good touch of old time salvation. God, the Holy Ghost, do a work in the heart, birth you in the family of God, and recognize that Jesus is the Lamb of God that died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, paid the price, rose from the dead, and now lives as an intercessor for man. I thank God for that. Amen. Then let me give you another one. And unclean spirits, Mark chapter 3, I believe about verse 17, somewhere in there. But the inquisitors, unclean spirits, and said when they saw him, they fell down and cried, thou art the Son of God. I mean, the unclean spirits knew who he was. That's better than some theologians know today about who he is. Amen. He is the Son of God. You say, preacher, you have to believe that he's the Son of God to go to heaven. You better believe you have to believe he's the Son of God to go to heaven. If you don't believe he's the Son of God, you don't believe he is the Christ, the anointed of God. Amen. He is the only begotten Son of God. He's not just a Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. We that are saved are called the children of God, the sons of God. But he is the only begotten Son of God. He is God in flesh. And so today, they knew who Christ was. You remember that maniac that come out of the tombs? He's out there cutting himself, and I picture him in my mind, and reminds me of advertisements you run across once in a while of some of these rock groups cutting themselves and acting, you know, crazy, and couldn't nobody tame him, and running wild and screaming and naked. But Jesus came by. And when Jesus met him, the Bible said the unclean spirits cried out about him, not to send him into the deep, not to send him away. And they knew he had the power to do that. They knew who he was, and they asked to go into pigs because they knew he had the power to do so. And he asked them, what's your name? And they said, Legion. They, many of us in here, hey, unclean spirits knew who he was. They knew that he had power over them. They knew that. They knew he could destroy them. He knew he could let them go into pigs. By the way, it drove the pigs crazy. And the first place they went was down to the beach. That's what the Bible said. It said they ran down to the water and they drowned down there. Amen. And they went crazy. And people go crazy today about things. But anyway, and the word demon's not in the Bible, by the way, but devil, the devil has a bunch of imps, and may not be named by a name. Rapture's not in the Bible either, but it's a truth, and they true that the evil spirits are under control of the devil, and they're everywhere. Amen. Amen. By the way, I better plug this in. Say people don't go to the beach, they're going out to the coast. Find a good, clean place. Amen. If that's possible, I guess it is. But anyway, these pigs went crazy. I just threw that in there. Amen. But anyway, they went crazy. And here the unclean spirits knew who he was. What think ye of Christ? John the Baptist said, I think he's the Lamb of God. I think he's going to increase. I got to decrease. I think he's worthy of all that. And the unclean spirits thinks he's the Son of God. That's how they thought about him. And they thought he had power to destroy them. And let me say to every unsaved in the house today that he has a power to take you to heaven or send you to hell. Somebody said, oh, God's a God of love. He wouldn't let anybody go to hell. You don't know the God of the Bible that I know.
The same God that loves you so much that he sent Jesus to go to the cross of Calvary is the same God that will one day say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Amen. He is so much God, so holy, that he cannot ignore sin. Had to send his own son to die for sin. And when he did that, he made a way for us to miss hell and go to heaven. But if men, women, boys, and girls reject that, then there's no other place to go but to hell. And Jesus Christ will be the one that will sentence you there and burn in the lake of fire forever and forever. And I say to you today, it's real. It's real, and you need to understand today who Christ is. He is the Christ. He's the one that can keep you out of there. Those demons cried out, don't send us down there. Don't. And I know there's people in hell crying today, and they say, don't come. And that man that died in Luke 16 went to hell. That rich man wanted somebody to go back and tell his brothers not to come to where he was. Hey, people in hell don't want you to come there because they know the awfulness of it. And I don't want you to go to hell. And God don't want you to go to hell. Jesus don't want you to go to hell. And the Holy Ghost here don't want you to go to hell. And if you go to hell, you'll go to hell over everybody that's praying for you. And the word of God being preached to you, you'll go to hell rejecting the love of God. And burn forever and forever. What a sad commentary that is. But here the unclean spirits knew who Jesus was. I want you to turn with me in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I want to show you what Pilate said about it. Here's a Gentile governor. And hear what he said about Jesus. In chapter 18, verse number 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? I want to plug this in right here. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And so, if you want to know what truth is, look at Jesus. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all. Pilate said, I find no fault at all. Look in verse number 4 of chapter 19 of the book of John. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. He again said, I find no fault in him. Look at verse number 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. 3 times Pilate said, I find no fault in him. He knew Roman justice. He knew as a governor, he knew that he tried people before, and he knew they had no real testimony against him. He knew they had no real right to crucify that man, but yet he wanted to please the people. And then they said he wouldn't be a friend to Caesar, and that tore him up. And he tried to get rid of Jesus by washing his hand, but you can't get rid of Jesus with water. You have to deal with him in your heart. And here Pilate is. What think ye of Christ? He said, I find no fault in him. There's going to be a lot of people say, I didn't find any fault in him. I think he's a good man. I think he lived a good life. I think he did good. But they're going to die and go to hell because they did not take him into their heart and trust him as their Lord and Savior. Pilate said good things about him. He said no fault in him, but he missed a point that he should have got, that he was should have accepted him and trusted him as his Lord and Savior. I say hallelujah. Let's look at Judas Iscariot. What did Judas say about him? In Matthew chapter 27, verse 4. And after Judas had betrayed him, he said this. And after they tried him, after he was condemned to die, Judas went back, took 30 pieces of silver, threw them down, and said, I've sinned him that I have betrayed innocent blood. The Bible said he was a devil from the beginning, but he knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew not guilty. I say to you again, did you know that Judas Iscariot kissed the door of heaven and went to hell? He went out there in the garden, and Jesus said he was the door. And Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Judas Iscariot went out there in the garden that night when he betrayed him and kissed him, and he kissed the door of heaven. He kissed the truth. He kissed life. He kissed the way, and yet he died and went to hell. And the Bible said about Judas Iscariot that it had been better had he never been born. I say to you today, you hear the gospel and you turn away Christ, it'd been better you never even breathed from your mother's womb. It'd been better you died. It'd been better you never been conceived. It'd been better you never been born. I'm telling you today, friend, Judas Iscariot knew who Jesus was, and he cried out, "I betrayed innocent blood." He didn't get saved. He doomed and damned for hell, but he cried out anyhow, and crying tonight in hell. I want you to know today you may kiss the door of heaven. You may get very close. You may have a Bible. You may not find any fault in Christ. You may never curse. You may never say anything against Jesus, but you never took him in your heart. What think ye of Christ? You need to think about that. That centurion in Matthew 27:54, I believe it's the right verse, but the centurion had watched Jesus die, and from 12 o'clock noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it became black. God turned the lights out. I believe the scene was so horrible on the cross of Calvary that nobody could look at it. God said, "I'm going to shut this out." And fact is, God turned his back. And Jesus cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Did you know that's the only time that Jesus ever cried out and called him my God? Every other time it's my Father, my Father, my Father, but now it's my God. You know why he's crying like that? Because Jesus has taken my place and your place, been made my sin and your sin. And he's crying out as a sinner would cry out, "My God, my God." And he'd been forsaken, but I'm telling you, on the cross of Calvary, dark, and as it was, the Bible says the bulls of Bashan came, and the demons of hell, everything worked against Jesus. He suffered there and paid our price. But oh, the earth quaked, the earth shook, and things happened in the earth. And when it all got over with, and the centurion looking upon Jesus said, "Surely, surely this was the Son of God." I say, amen. Surely this was the Son of God. Ain't never been a man died like that man died. Ain't never been a time God blacked out everything for 3 hours. Ain't never been anybody died like he died. But he died like that. And that centurion cried and said, "Surely he was the Son of God." I don't know for sure that centurion got saved, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't take Jesus as his own Lord and Savior. He knew something had happened there on the cross. Let me say about Thomas. Thomas, what think ye of Christ? And Thomas, you remember after Jesus had died, buried, and rose from the dead, Thomas said, "I'll not believe except I put my fingers in the nail prints, thrust my hand into the side that was riven." He said, "I'm not going to believe." But then Jesus had appeared to the others. They missed it. He said, "I'm not going to believe." Then Jesus one day stepped in the room where he was. And you don't find that Thomas ever even touched him, that Thomas did anything. But you do find Thomas crying out and saying, "My Lord and my God." Amen. Who's Christ? "What think you, Christ?" He said, "I think he's Lord." Hallelujah. He said, "Only he's a God. He's my Lord." Amen. I'm glad to die. "What think you, Christ? Is he your Lord?" Hey, not just your God. He is God. But he cried out. I believe he later maybe hugged him and sat down and meet with him and fell. But when he saw him, he cried, "My Lord and my God." He was saying, "I submit it all to you. I'm going to give everything to you. It's your everything. And I'm going to let you be Lord in my life. Let you guide me, direct me, and help me." And trusted him as his Lord. I say, hallelujah. What think you of Christ? Let me close it with this. John, that beloved disciple, what think you of Christ? Now, John didn't say these words per se. He pinned them down. But I believe John believed everything he pinned down. He was out there on a barren island, exiled, the island called Patmos. While he's out there, I love this. The Bible said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't come to church filled up of everything else. He come up, pray. He came Sunday and he's prayed up. He came and said, "Nobody around here, but I believe I'll go to church anyhow." And he got, I don't know what John was doing, but Jesus showed up. He said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." And Jesus came and he said, "I'm the first and the last. That's what John thought of him. He's the first and the last. Then he went on the next verse and said, behold, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I believe that John believed he's the one that died, rose from the dead, and lives, and was alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. Hey, the devil don't have the keys to hell. Devil don't take care of who goes to hell and what's going on in hell. God got the authority over that. Handles that part. Amen. He has the keys of hell and death. And by the way, let me tell you today, the devil can't kill me until God gets ready for me to go. Amen. I'm glad, praise God. I just thought I'd plug that in. Amen. Devil would like to destroy all of us if he could, but we're safe and secure in Christ Jesus, but the devil's not that. But then something else about John. Over there in chapter 19, and talking about Jesus coming back with his church, the rule and reign, he said he had on his vest and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What? Thank you, Christ. I think he's King of Kings. I think he's Lord of Lords. Preacher, what's going to happen today? Our world's in a mess. Our country's in a mess. What's going to happen? Jesus is coming back to take us out of here. And he's coming back one day as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to have the final say, have the final kingdom. And I say, hallelujah. Amen. That's not all he said. In Revelation 22, he said, I'm the bright and the morning star. Hallelujah. It looks dark out here today. It looks dark around us today and the world goes. But I'm glad he's a bright and a morning star. Hallelujah. That star shining bright. And the morning times are coming. And we're getting ready to get out of here. What thank ye of Christ? What thank ye of Christ? Now, I want to bring us down to where we really are. I've tried to bring it down somewhat while I preached. What thank ye of Christ? You think he's sinless? You think he's no fault in him? The devils do that and they tremble. But they're not saved. What think you of Christ? You think he's the only way there is to heaven? Do you really think that? If you really do, then act upon it. If you really believe he's the only way to heaven, act upon that, because he is the only way to heaven. What think you of Christ? Let me ask all saved people something today. What think you of Christ? Is he worthy of our service? Is he worthy that we serve him? He that went to the cross of Calvary and paid our sin debt. He that left the portals of glory and came down here and had no place to lay his head. He that came and suffered my hell, paid my price. Is he worthy that I give him glory, that I praise his name, that I be faithful to him, that I tell others about him? Is he worthy? Does he deserve our all? Does he deserve your time, your effort? Does he deserve that you read his book, that you spend time on your knees with him? Does he? What think you of Christ anyway? You can say, I think he's Christ. I think he's a Lord. I think he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think that he's about him. I've trusted him as my Savior and all that. But what think you of him in your daily life? How much does he occupy in your daily walk? What think ye of Christ? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray today, help all of us think like we ought to think about Jesus, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Savior, the only way there is to heaven, the way, the truth, the life. And Father, I pray today you'd help all of us that we'll respond to that. It may be somebody here today that's never been saved. They're on the road to hell and they need Jesus. I pray today be the day they would respond and repent and believe. Then there are those here today that's saved and their life is not really live for God. Don't really think that much of him day by day. I pray you'd help all of us think about this. What think you of Christ? Father, help us do what we know we need to do and what we wish we'd have done when we stand someday yonder in judgment. I pray in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want anybody looking, myself and God.